That old school bell is ringing, and it tells us it's time for another session of the Warren County Radio Bible School. So get your seats and get your Bibles ready. And while we're preparing for this program, you may want to turn to the book of Isaiah and look at the text, Isaiah chapter 6. And this is the text that talks about the vision that Isaiah saw in the temple when he thought he had seen God in all his glory. And upon realizing what he had done, he said, "Woe is me." And then the angel took the hot coal from the altar and burned his lips to purify his speech. And when the Lord said, "Who shall I send to preach to my people?" he said, "Here am I, send me." Well, it's quite the story. We're going to be looking at that in a little bit. Be turning to Isaiah chapter 6, and that's the entire chapter, verses 1 through 13. And while you're doing that, I'll remind you that this school is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We begin each week with a Sunday morning Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m. and an evening worship at 6 p.m. And we have a Wednesday Bible study at 7 p.m. And all are welcome to all of our services. I am Bill Boyd, the superintendent of this Bible school. And the teacher is E.A. Elam. He's coming to us by way of Sunday school notes that he wrote in an earlier time. This was for April the 30th, 1922. And what he is doing as he introduces this, he's giving us first, in these notes, somewhat the background for the prophet Isaiah. And that's important to do with these prophets. In fact, one of the great benefits of studying the prophets in the Old Testament is it gives you an opportunity to review the history and the background, and you really need to, as best you can, understand the times of their prophecy in order to know how to correctly appreciate exactly what it is they were prophesying. I want to begin where I left off on the last session, on page 111 of this published copy of Elam's notes. And we will begin where Elam writes, "The period of Isaiah's ministry was a critical one. Isaiah was a great prophet. He touched on the destiny of the kingdom surrounding Judah and Israel and foresaw beyond the revolutions of kingdoms and the downfall of empires the coming Savior, whose work and kingdom should surpass all others. For this reason, he has been called the gospel prophet." Isaiah was prophesying during a time where there was a kingdom to the north, the 10 tribes of northern Israel, and then there was the tribe of Judah and the tribes associated with that, Benjamin and much of the Levites there in southern Israel, with its throne in Jerusalem. And it was a time in which both of these kingdoms were prospering. Under Uzziah, the kingdom of Judah flourished and extended it over the country of the Philistines to Elath on the Red Sea. Under Jeroboam II, the kingdom of Israel flourished, and he extended it to the entrance of Hamath on the north, so that the two kingdoms together occupied almost as much territory as the United Kingdom did under Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 8:65. The kingdoms had never enjoyed so much wealth and worldly greatness since the times of Solomon. With this prosperity, however, came luxury, ease, licentiousness, drunkenness, and immorality of all kinds. Idolatry, oppression of the people, vain confidence in man, and a corresponding lack of confidence in God. And with all this was a perfunctory performance of religious ceremonies, a form of godliness without the power. During this period, Amos, Hosea, and Micah prophesied. Amos prophesied mostly against Israel and describes the wealth, the luxury, the ease, the corruption, the debauchery, and the other sins of that kingdom, and exhorts all to repentance. Those sins rendered Judah, as well as Israel, weak, and exposed it to the chastisement of God and invasions of surrounding nations. In those days, the reign of Jotham, Jehovah began to sin against Judah, Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pelah, the son of Remaliah. In Ahaz's reign, the Syrians smote and carried a great multitude of captives off to Damascus. The king of Israel, Pekah, also slew in Judah 120,000 in one day, all of them valiant men, because they had forsaken Jehovah, the God of their fathers. Pekah also carried away captive 200,000 women, sons, and daughters, and took much spoil. But under the influence of Obed, a prophet of Jehovah, these captives were clothed, fed, anointed, and brought back, the weak and the helpless on asses, to Jericho and sent home. You can read about this in 2 Chronicles 28, 5-15. The Philistines from the west invaded Judah, for Jehovah brought Judah low because of Ahaz. The Syrians, too, invaded Judah. This gives us some idea of the condition of Judah during the time of Isaiah's ministry and the importance of studying his prophecies in connection with the history of these kingdoms surrounding Judah and Israel, as he foresaw, beyond the revolutions of kingdoms and the downfall of empires, the coming Savior, whose work and kingdom would surpass all others. Now here's the explanatory notes. As we get to them, let me read this again from the text. This is Isaiah 6, and I will read verses 1 through 7. It is in the year that Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and above him stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Jehovah of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, Jehovah of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he touched my mouth with it, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is forgiven. Let's turn to Elam's notes now, and see what he said about that portion of that chapter. In the year King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw this vision. Some think the vision marks the beginning of Isaiah's work as a prophet, but this is hardly probable because prophets, like other servants of God, grew and developed in their prophetic work from one degree of service to another, and the vision in this chapter shows a high degree of advancement in close relationship to God. Fidelity in little prepares one for the reception of much, and for fidelity in that. God gave Isaiah a true insight into the conditions of affairs, the cause, and the remedy. He saw it all clearly and felt it keenly. The more righteous he became and the nearer to God he drew, the more heinous and terrible became to him the sins and crimes of his people, and the more deeply he felt for them and the awful retribution which overhung them. All that is in the book of Isaiah was not revealed to him at the same time. As has been stated, he must have advanced as a prophet. If Isaiah prophesied at all during Uzziah's lifetime, this vision was not his call to become a prophet, for it came in the year that Uzziah died. Besides prophesying, he wrote of the acts of Isaiah and the acts of Hezekiah. This was a glorious vision, the Lord sitting on a throne in the most holy place in the temple, high and lifted up, while the skirts of his garments filled the temple, and above him stood the seraphim, each one having six wings. With two wings a seraph covered his face, with two his feet, and with two he flew. The seraphim, it seems, corresponds to the cherubim, whose wings overshadowed the mercy seat. From between the two cherubim, which were upon the ark of the testimony above the mercy seat, God gave commandments concerning the children of Israel. The four living creatures in Ezekiel's vision each had four wings, but in the vision of John on Patmos, the living creatures had each one of them six wings. John saw a throne set in heaven, and these four living creatures round about the throne in the book of Revelation. Some say that covering their faces with two wings showed humility, and covering their feet with two wings showed respect. The twofold mission of the seraphim was to declare the holiness and praise of Jehovah and to communicate Jehovah's message through Isaiah to the people. The one cried into another, or spoke alternately, it seemed, "Holy, holy, holy is Jehovah of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." So said the four living creatures in John's vision in the book of Revelation. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him that crieth, and the house was filled with smoke. Mount Sinai quaked greatly when God came down upon it in Exodus, whose voice then shook the earth, but now has promised, saying, "Yet once more I will make tremble not the earth only, but also the heaven," Hebrews 12 and verse 26. The smoke may have been to veil the presence of Jehovah, as the cloud of the incense covered the mercy seat when the high priest went into the most holy place. This vision and prophecy, like others, not only referred to the people then, but to Christ and the Jews of his day. John 12:41 says that in this vision Isaiah spoke of Christ. He said, "These things saith Isaiah, because he saw his glory, and he spake of him." Isaiah felt the sinfulness that he was undone in the presence of God. God said to Moses, "Thou canst not see my face, for man shall not see me and live." Different ones saw angels of God's glory, but this filled them with fear and trembling, as in the case of Moses and the children of Israel, Gideon, Manoah, Peter, James, and John. When Isaiah declared that he was a man of unclean lips and dwelt in the midst of a people of unclean lips, one of the seraphim touched his mouth with a live coal which he had taken with tongs from the altar and said, "Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sins forgiven." Well, that's where we're going to stop with the Bible lesson at this time. We're going to take up next week and look at the remaining part of Isaiah chapter 6, verses 8 through 13. If you're listening to this program and you have a Bible question, I wish you would let me know what that is and give me some feedback on the program. My email address is wmhboyd@aol.com. You can either email me, or as I would prefer, text me at that same address, wmh@boyd.com. Now put a bookmark in your Bible at Isaiah chapter 6, and we'll look at the last of that chapter in the next program. And so the bell is telling us that the time for class is over. Make sure you're on time and in your seats, ready for the next class at our next session.